number 12. Somebody says, you still going to preach? Yeah, for a minute. I probably won't preach long, but just a simple thought. It's going to sound discouraging, but it's not meant to discourage. It's meant to encourage.
Amen.
2 Corinthians chapter number 12. Can y'all hear me good back there, Brother Joe, in the back? Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, look with me at verse number 8. Say amen when you're there.
Amen.
Let's back up and catch verse number 7 too. Paul said, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Now look up here just for a second. Paul had an infirmity. We don't know really what it was. Some people speculate it was this or that, and it doesn't really matter to me. It was a thorn. It could be anything. Amen? And probably every one of us have some measure of something that we deal with in our life. I have sinus trouble. I have had all my life, and I prayed and asked God to heal it and touch it, and it just never has. I mean, it's just something I have to deal with, something I have to live with. But Paul said about this thing, this messenger of Satan that was sent to buffet him, he said, I prayed about this thing three times. Three times I went to God with this problem. I didn't know people were still praying. I'm sorry. Three times I went to God with this problem. But what does God say? What does God say? Do you ever pray and not get the answer you were hoping for?
Amen.
Would you ever pray and not get the answer that you thought you should?
Amen.
Come on, talk to me a little bit.
Yes, sir.
Now let me promise you something. You never get the wrong answer.
That's right.
You never get the wrong answer. Whatever God says is right. It's A-OK 100% of the time, every time. Paul said in verse number 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul said, I'd rather have the power of God and the presence of God than I had this thing taken away, whatever this thorn in the flesh is. I want to preach to you just on this simple thought tonight, just for a minute. When God says no. When God says no. I've prayed about something specifically and had the Lord, I mean, back it up, confirm it with Scripture, and just say flat out, no. And I'm just like a kid. You tell a kid no, I won't know why. And God doesn't always tell me why. But you know what? We must learn to accept the no's that God sends our way. Because even if the answer to your prayer is no, God is answering with what is best for you. How many of you are thankful that He hasn't done everything you ask Him to do? There'd be a lot less people in this world. Amen. I guarantee you, I prayed, kill them, God.
Yeah.
Amen. Strike them dead. Amen.
Yeah.
I sure have, but I'd be dead.
Because
some of y'all probably prayed, strike him dead before he preaches another hour. Amen. But seriously, I remember when I was a young preacher, Brother Freddie, every time before I would preach, I would earnestly, from my heart, sincere as I knew how to be, I'd pray, God, if I start to say something that ain't right, I pray you'd kill me. I'm glad He don't answer that prayer. Amen. I quit. I still pray, Lord, help me not to say anything wrong, but I leave that kill me stuff off. Amen. Especially after I learned how fallible I am and how subject I am to mess up. I bet the Lord's in heaven going, bless His heart. Like my mother while I'm preaching. Amen. Bless Him, Lord. Amen. The Lord hears our prayers. There's no doubt about it. But sometimes God just simply says, no. Did you ever tell your kids no just for the purpose of telling them no? Not because you didn't want them to do whatever it was they were asking to do. It wasn't because it was a bad thing or even bad timing. Just every now and then, no. Yeah. Simply because you wanted them to learn what no was. Amen. Sometimes it may not be that you're not the person for the job or whatever the case may be. And the Lord says no. Maybe the Lord's just wanting you to learn some obedience.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Amen. Amen. I've had God tell me several times, and when some big issues, some big things, I've had God tell me no.
Yeah.
Okay. I've learned just to accept no.
Yes.
Amen. By the way, a no is better than nothing. But sometimes when I pray about something and pray about something and pray about something, we're going to look at it. I believe I can back up what I'm fixing to say tonight. I believe when we pray about something and pray about something and pray about something, I'm not talking about for somebody who's sick or, you know what, I'm talking about something personal in our life. And we pray about this thing and pray about this thing. God never says anything. Sometimes that's no.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. We'll look at Elijah in a few minutes. Elijah prayed for God to kill him.
Amen.
You know what? God didn't even respond to it. Amen. Sometimes you pray about something and have you ever had the Lord or the Holy Spirit speak to your heart and go, why are you wasting your time? Have you ever went back to God again after he's already told you no once? Amen. Lord, you remember that thing Paul did? Paul asked him three times, he said. He said, I besought him thrice about taking this thing away. And God finally says, hey, my grace is sufficient. You've got exactly what you need to deal with that problem that you have. Amen?
Amen?
Sometimes we pray, God, take a problem away, take a problem away, take a problem away. And the problem may be the only thing that's keeping us where we ought to be.
Right.
Amen. I've had people over the years say, oh, preacher, if I won the lottery, I'd pay off the church. Or we're going to get this big settlement and we're going to do this for the church and that for church. And boy, they get that money and you never see them again. Amen. Sometimes we pray, Lord, bless us financially, and sometimes being broke's the only thing that keeps us humble enough. Amen. You ever wonder how much you'd pray if you didn't have problems? How much would you spend in time in prayer if you didn't have problems? The majority of our prayer is telling God what's wrong. Is that right? Amen. I mean, I got the prayer sheet right here. Look here. Front and back. Every bit of that. Almost every one of them is a problem. We spend all our time telling, what if God answered every prayer? Sometimes I feel like he spoils me and answers more of my prayer than he should. Anybody else like that?
Yes,
Miss Joanne was talking about it. She just thinking about how amazing it was that she saved.
Yeah.
Man, when I asked the Lord to save me, it blows my mind he answered that prayer.
Yeah.
When I said, Lord, I'm on my way to hell. I need you to forgive me of my sins. You know what he said? Sure. I'm glad he didn't say no to that one. But I can't believe he didn't. I cannot believe he didn't say no. Amen. God has given me most of everything I've ever asked him for. He has. Remember I told you years ago how to get everything you want? Want what God wants. Amen. Just want what God wants. I wanted to start a bus ministry. I said, Lord, I sure would love it if we could start a bus ministry. And the Lord said, I'm thinking the same thing. Within a week, we had a bus and was running, picking up kids. And we've been doing it for 20 years. Amen? Or better, a little better than 20 years, probably. But every now and then, there's been a place or a time when God said, no. Just flat out, no. And sometimes that no's disappointing. Sometimes that no, it's almost like a busted bubble. You see, a lot of times I get a good idea up here. But it's coming from up here.
Amen.
It's not coming from down here.
Right, right.
I wanted center fields a few years ago so bad that I could taste it.
Yeah.
I wanted it so bad up here that I convinced myself that it was God telling me. But you know what? Before that thing was said and done, the Lord said, no.
Yeah.
Crush me. Had I gotten what I wanted, we'd have been bankrupt probably within 2 years.
Amen.
Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
God does want bigger and better things, but that wasn't the place and it wasn't the time.
Yeah.
Amen. And God just flat out, clear as a bell, told me, no, it ain't happening. I tried to make it happen. Amen. I took the whole church over there. We had a big day over there. I mean, man, we checked the place out. We were going to move. God said, no. It's not going to happen. And I was so disappointed, so crushed. Part of me felt like a fool because I told everybody it was God's will. And God was saying, when did I tell you that? Amen. I don't care who you are, we all make mistakes. And I made one there. And when God originally said no, I thought it was a horrible thing. But what I didn't realize, well, a lot of times when God tells us no, there's a couple of reasons, and we won't go into all of them, but there's a couple of reasons. No, maybe because he's got something better.
Amen.
Amen. Maybe no may mean just hold on, buddy. Have you ever prayed about something and you had this thing figured out in your mind just how God was going to do it? And then God did it and he done it 10 times better than you could ever even thought of it?
Yeah.
Amen. Sometimes no means just hold on. I got something better in mind. I got something bigger. I got something more suited to you. I've got something better in mind for you. I remember years ago, White Oak Springs, my home church, was a preacher factory. Our church has turned out more preachers than any church in this area I know of, Brother Charles. I mean, we could start listing names and it just goes on and on. Pastor after pastor after pastor, famous evangelist. I mean, great men of God. But when the Lord called me to preach, we had a church full of young preachers. And one by one, these preachers were going out and pastoring churches. And boy, I knew in my heart God wanted me to pastor. And I'd go to preach at a church. I'd go in there and preach, and I'd think, boy, this is it. This is it. Boy, I'd step in that pulpit like I owned it, Brother Charles. I went to Crossroads Memorial. But I stepped up there and preached that morning. I said, this is it. I'll pastor this church. This is God's will. You know what the Lord said? No. And he used a big, fat daddy rabbit deacon to tell me. He shook my hand and said, you won't be back. Man, I preached at another church on Macklin Road. No pastor. This is it. This is it. God said no. Man, I felt like God was doing me wrong. I come to Happy Valley. I stepped in that pulpit that first Sunday. I put my hand where Brother J.M.'s hands had wore that pulpit all them years. And buddy, it was like I stuck my finger in a light socket. You can believe me or not, I felt it, buddy. I mean, it was like, whoa. God said, you're home. This is it. I said, there ain't nobody here. There's just a few. What I didn't know was there was one that make up for about 20 regular people, amen? I thought, Lord, Earl Jr. and Jeff and all these other boys, they got deacons and they got Sunday school teachers and they took a church that was thriving. And I was jealous. I had no idea what God was doing. Not one of them preacher boys are still in the church they went to pastor. Not one. So God said no time and time again because he knew. Brother J.M. was reaching a point where he couldn't go no further. He knew that he had made me for this place. Amen. I'm glad he said no. Man, if I'd have went to one of them other churches that was run by the deacons and all that kind of stuff where they vote every year whether or not to keep the pastor, might have destroyed my family, might have destroyed my children's life. Hey, God knows exactly what is best for you. Sometimes he says no, but when God says no, we've got to get to the place where we know, even though it's no, it's still best. I mean, that's hard to do. You're going to have to grow some spiritually before you can get there. Because I still have a tough time with no. Amen. There's a lot of things that I'd like to do that God just says no. No. I thought about Abraham. Abraham. I'm trying to find my scripture. Genesis chapter number 17. Y'all in a big hurry?
No,
good. Genesis chapter number 17. Let's look at a few of these instances through the Bible where God said no. And by the way, if God will say no to Abraham, to the Apostle Paul, who do we think we are? Did I tell you chapter 17?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Genesis chapter 17, look at verse 18. And Abraham said unto God, Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his seed after him. As for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac. Abraham said, God, I want you to put it on Ishmael, the son of my sin, the son that I had in doubt. This was my answer to prayer, not God's answer to prayer. He went in and had a child by his handmaid, or his wife's handmaid. Are y'all listening? And Abraham prays for God to put that blessing. But God has already promised the seed. He's already promised the son in Isaac. Abraham has just given up on God. Amen. And don't get so down on Abraham. You've quit on him too. Tried to do it yourself, tried to figure it out yourself, tried to make it work yourself. Well, if God's going to bless me and my seed and all this and more than the sand of the sea and the stars in the sky, I'm going to help God out. Listen, God does not need our help. He doesn't need us to help him figure it out. He's already got it figured out. He doesn't need us to help him make it happen. Do you understand that? He didn't need Abraham to try to figure that thing out for himself. You know what he needed Abraham to do? Trust him. Simply trust him. Amen. Even when the answer is not there. Even when that answer is there and it's a no. Just know that that no is the best thing for you for that time in your life. God has told me no about things in the past, and then several years later it come to pass. You know what God was saying? You wasn't ready for it back then. Just because I let you see something down the road don't mean you're ready for it now.
Amen.
Amen. Let me say that again. That just sounded good. Just because I let you see something that's coming down the road doesn't mean you're ready for it now. Amen. God knew all along he is going to give Isaac to Abraham, even in his old age. Amen. I thought about Moses. Moses, what a man of prayer was Moses. My goodness. Yet in one matter, God had to say to him, watch this, Deuteronomy. This is wild. Deuteronomy chapter number 3. If you know the story, you know Moses has led God's children out of Egypt, out of bondage. He's parted the Red Sea. He's had a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. He's got water out of a rock. Manna has fell out of heaven to feed him. I mean, I would say this man was familiar with some miracles, wouldn't you?
Amen.
Amen. I walked up to Lake Altoona one day and said, part. It didn't do nothing, man. I couldn't part the bathtub. How about you? Amen. But listen, I'd say this man knew something about some miracles. He's led God's children, of course, because of the sin. They've wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And look at Deuteronomy chapter 3 and verse number 26. Make it verse number 25. Moses says to God, I pray thee, let me go over and see the good land that is beyond Jordan, that goodly mountain and Lebanon. Here's what he says. 40 years I've been at this. 40 years I've been putting up with these people. 40 years we've been wandering in the wilderness. For 40 years I ain't had a new pair of shoes in 40 years. He said, at least let me, before I die, at least let me go over and look at it. He's talking about the promised land. He's talking about Canaan. He's talking about the land that God promised him. He's talking about the land that the spies brought back the report and told how wonderful and how great it was. He said, let me just go over there and see it. Watch what God said. He said, but the Lord, in verse 26, was wroth with me for your sakes, talking about the children of Israel, and would not hear me. And the Lord said unto me, let it suffice thee. speak no more unto me of this matter. Let this satisfy you, Moses. I don't want to hear it anymore. Don't even talk to me about it. That's what God said. Moses said, I mean, that doesn't seem like too big a thing to ask. I mean, really, he's hung in there for 40 years. They've had some down days and some glitches along the way, but, let me go over and look at it. God said, don't even talk to me. That's what he said. Have you ever told your children that?
Amen.
I don't want to hear it. That's enough. Don't even talk to me about it no more. Amen. Them kids get to wanting something. Ashley is, I don't know where she gets this, but she gets to wanting something. She researches it. She knows everything there is to know about it. She probably went and bought that minivan and was telling the salesman how it worked. I mean, I guarantee you, that's exactly like her daddy. We were looking at a bass boat one time, and I asked the fella, I don't even know why I asked him, because I knew. I asked the fella how much the hull of the boat weighed. He said, well, I think it weighs. I said, no, it don't. It weighs this. My wife just busted out laughing. She said, why do you even ask? Amen. But anyway, I lost my whole train of thought. Yeah. Thank you, Brother Fred. We need a rewind button up here. Amen. Every now and then, they've asked, and you just finally say, basically, if you ask me again, I'm going to whip you. If you ask me one more time, I've done told you no, you're getting a whooping. God looks at Moses, one of the greatest men that ever lived, and said, speak to the hand, friend. I don't even want to talk about it. It's not up for discussion. Be satisfied with that. This is as far as you go. Wow. You reckon God knew that there's a young man waiting in the wings by the name of Joshua? One of the greatest leaders that I believe has ever lived on the face of this earth. I can't wait to get to heaven to meet him. What a man. What a man. In his life, I only find one real mistake. I can find at least one in my life every day. What a man. God knew exactly what he was doing when he told Moses no. He knew exactly what he was doing when he told Abraham no. He knew exactly what he was doing when he told Paul no. I wonder, had God answered Paul's prayer and removed that thorn, whatever it was, that pain, that problem, whatever it was, if God had took that away, I wonder how many books would be missing from our New Testament. I mean, God would have got them to us somehow. Amen. I think about Brother Randy Pike, one of the greatest men of God I've ever been able to know in my lifetime. He's been walking on those crutches. Was it polio? It was a football accident. He's been crippled all his life. I'm talking about powerful man of God. And he told me out of his own mouth, sitting right there, he said, God gave me these crutches. He said, these crutches were God's will for my life. I doubt I'd ever done anything that I've done for God were it not for these crutches. 15 years on the mission field in Australia. I got to go and see two of the churches that he started over there. One of them was without a pastor, and it was facing the ocean. I was tempted. 15 years in South Africa. Got stories that'll curl your toenails, buddy. Hey, yeah, amen, brother. I'm talking about make Steven Spielberg stuff look like cartoons. He gets talking about them demons and witch doctors and all that stuff. He said, God gave me these crutches. He said, I'd have never done anything for God. God allowed that thorn for Paul.
Amen.
Just because God says no doesn't mean it's always a bad thing.
Right.
It's not always a bad thing. 2 Samuel chapter number 12, almost done. 2 Samuel chapter number 12. I done passed it. 2 Samuel chapter 12. Look at verse number 15. The Bible said, "And Nathan departed unto his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. David therefore besought God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. And the elders of the house arose and went to him to raise him up from the earth, but he would not, neither did he eat bread with them. And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. And the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead, for they said, Behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken unto our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead?" Now listen, it's evident why God said no here. It's pretty evident why God said no here. This child was nothing but a product of adultery and even murder. And David, I think that's why David was okay. You read on down the next verse, he got up, washed himself, and ate. And they said, "Man, why are you washing yourself and eating now? The child's dead." He said, "Well," he said, "he can't come to me, but I can go to him."
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. David knew exactly why God didn't answer that prayer, I believe with all my heart. Amen. Have you ever prayed and asked God about something and in your mind you already knew he ain't going to do it? Because you automatically knew you weren't worthy of it.
Amen.
You weren't deserving of it. You knew in your heart you had to get right over something.
Yeah. That's good,
preacher. You okay? That's why it helps to stay prayed up, friend.
Amen.
Amen. But God said no unto David. And then I thought about Elijah in 1 Kings. You don't even have to turn there. 1 Kings chapter number 19. Elijah, man, I'm talking about calling fire down from heaven. Powerful, powerful man of God. He went and sat down under a Jupiter tree and requested for himself that he might die. And he said, "It is enough, O Lord, take away my life." You know what God said? Nothing. God didn't even entertain it with an answer. Have you ever prayed that? You don't have to answer out loud. "Lord, I wish you'd just take me on out of here. I wish you'd just take me on out of here." What a stupid thing to pray. But we can get in a place in our mind.
Amen.
The devil can convince us that our life is not worth living.
Amen.
But if your life wasn't worth living, you wouldn't be. If God didn't still have reason or purpose for you to be here, you'd be gone. You don't ever have to ask God to kill you. When it's your time, it'll happen. Amen. When it's your time, that heart will quit beating. Them lungs will stop pumping. It'll happen. You don't have to rush God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Aren't you glad God doesn't say yes every time?
Amen.
Aren't you glad God doesn't always say, "Yeah, okay"? Sometimes God just says no. I think God didn't say yay or nay here simply because it was a foolish question.
Yes. Amen.
But he understands us.
Amen.
Moses asked him basically the same thing. I'm glad sometimes God says no. I'm glad every now and then God knows what's better for me and he knows what's better for you.
Yes.
And he says no. Lord, help me to get to the place where I can say thank you to the no. Help me get to the place where, and I don't mean down the road when I see what God had planned. I mean then. Help me get to the place when God says no to go ahead and know in my heart that he knows better for me than I do. He knows exactly what he's doing. He's brought me this far. He'll carry me further.
Amen.
So maybe next time the Lord tells you no, you won't have such a hard time with it. Amen. I know people who've God told no, it got them plumb out of church. I mean got them plumb out of church. I know people who got bitter at God all because God wouldn't allow them to have their way. Now, you know what that is? That's a spoiled brat. Amen. That's basically laying in the floor and kicking your feet and holding your breath.
Amen.
And you know what God, you know how God responds to that? I give you this story and I'm done. You remember the episode on Andy Griffin?
Yeah.
This little brat kid moved to town.
Yeah.
His daddy was rich, had a brand new bicycle. He was showing that thing to Opie. And he said, "Did you get that for your birthday?" He said, "No." He said, "You save your allowance and buy it?" He said, "No, my daddy just bought it. He does everything I want." He said, "Really? He does everything you ask?" "He does everything I ask." He said, "How do you get everything you want?" He said, "Throw a fit. Just throw a fit." So Opie goes to the jailhouse. Andy sat behind his desk, and Opie asked Andy for something. He told him no. He laid down the floor and started kicking his feet. And Andy said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm having a fit." He said, "Oh." He went right back to it. He said, "I'm having a fit." He said, "Oh." He just didn't even just let him lay there and kick and scream. Amen. Hey, God may be just letting you lay there and kick and scream. Get over it and trust God. If it's no, it's okay.
Yeah.
Okay, God, if it's no, it's okay.
Amen.
Me and Levi was talking, not before church, we was talking during church. And we fussed at y'all for doing that. And then we sit up here and yak. But he said, "Me and Brother Freddie was talking today. Boy, if we could tear that wall out and go 30 foot that way, and tear that wall out and go 30 foot that way." By the way, First Baptist Church in Powder Springs is identical to this church right here, and that's exactly what they did. I know it can be done. Amen. But it's absolutely gorgeous. Balcony wraps around. He said, "You know what that'd do? That'd over double our seating capacity."
Amen.
He said, "That'd give us like an 800 seat auditorium." I said, "You know what? That'd be awesome."
Amen.
If that's what God wants.
Amen.
If that's what God wants, that'd be awesome.
Right.
But God might say, "Nah. I want you to take gold dust apart." And then God may say, "Are we still recording?" God may say, "No. First Baptist is going to get tired of that new building they got." Amen. That's the prettiest place in this town, friend. Amen. Hey, they got tired of this one. I told a lady the other day, "Brother Todd, go ahead, y'all don't have to come. We're going to, everybody's coming to the altar." So, told a lady the other day, I was in the store. She said, "You're Pastor White at Happy Valley." I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "We go to First Baptist." I said, "Well, it's good to see you." She said, "I remember we gave y'all that money." I said, "And we still thank God for it every day." They always like to remind me that, about them forgiving that second mortgage. And she said, "We sure do miss that old place." I said, "You want to trade?" Even Stephen, we'll throw keys. We'll even leave the songbook, man. Y'all listening? Somebody said it'd be an improvement. I don't know what God wants, but I tell you this. I think I'm okay with it, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Amen. I think I'm okay with it, whatever it is. We have some good ideas. And that was a good idea. I love that. Brother Freddie's drew it before, I think. Yeah, it's a wonderful idea. If it's what God wants. If it's what the Lord wants. Let's take those no's and let's learn to trust God. Let those no's build our faith in Him. Instead of getting upset when He says no, let's get excited.
Amen.
God, can we do this? No. All right, He's got something, but what's He got in mind?
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. I've learned that over the years.
Right.
I've learned that over a lot of times when God says no, He's got something better planned. Amen. Let's stand our feet. Come and pick you up a prayer sheet. Let me just say, I didn't want to embarrass her now that everybody's standing. I just want to say it's good to have Miss Tammy here tonight. This is Miss Osborne's daughter. And appreciate you being with us tonight. Y'all be still.